Well, today concludes our sermon series on five of the main facets of what makes a faithful congregation. We've been using the Greek words to kind of help us focus in on what they are and what it means for us, and there will be a test. I've asked the ushers to hand out the exam as you're leaving this morning. But the last one that we want to look at is one which maybe you might have thought would have been the first one. Because when you think about church, the first thing that you think about is worship. Because that is the one element of church that we all have in common, because all of us have different aspects of the life of the church that we find ourselves involved in, we find ourselves enjoying or giving to. But the one common element that unites us together is that very act of worship. And so I'd like us to consider that today by looking at the second chapter of Acts, beginning with the 42nd verse, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. The word that we have for today is liturgia. Now, that might have a slightly familiar ring to it. It is the word that we get liturgy from. You might be a little familiar with the word liturgy, because liturgy is what we call the form or the formula that we have to worship. That we work on the liturgy of the church. It's not a word that we Presbyterians use very often, because we don't like to think like that's a good word to use, because liturgy actually goes back to the Catholic Church, and we Protestants are always reticent to use things that we inherited from the Catholics. But it is a good word, that is something we inherited from them, and it is a word that talks about the shape and form of how we worship. And every worship service has a liturgy to it. Well, you might think, you know, this 9 o'clock service, it doesn't have a liturgy. We're not doing a lot of recitation. We're not doing responsive readings. We're not doing all of that sort of stuff that you might think of with liturgy. But we do have a liturgy. We have a formula. And it throws us off when we change the formula, such as the praise band coming to me and saying, we're doing all four songs at the beginning. There's not a song before your sermon. They messed with our liturgy. It is the formula by which we do the act of worship. Now, the funny thing about this word liturgia, though, is this. It doesn't mean worship. It doesn't mean form or formula. It doesn't mean pattern or anything else along that line of what you might think it means. Liturgia is a Greek word for work. Now, that kind of threw me for a loop. When I first learned that years ago, I thought, no, shouldn't liturgia be used for the kinds of things that the church does, like this mission trip that we're hoping to get together to go to South Carolina? That should be liturgia. That should be the work of the church. Or teaching, or other things. It seems as if it's not the right word for this use. Why is it that liturgia became the word that is used for worship in the early church? Why did liturgia become the word that describes what the church does when they're gathered together? I mean, we heard them talking in the Acts of the Apostles about the people, the early church, they got together as often as they could, and that getting together was centered around those things that we consider now as parts of what we call worship. The sharing in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup, the hearing of the word proclaimed, the praise of God, the prayers of the people, all of those things were central to what they did when they gathered together as a family of faith in the early days of the church. That was the work that they did. Now, the more I thought about it, though, the more I began to realize that maybe work is the right word for our worship together. Because I know there are times when it is easier to worship. I mean, to be honest with you, today's a great day. Penn State won their football game yesterday, and the New York Mets are in the World Series. What could make me want to praise God more than those two things? There are those days when it is easier to worship. Those days when everything is falling into place, everything is going just the way you hoped it would. Those days when you have those wonderful experiences that you love to cling to and those memories that make your life rich and full. Those days that you come to this place with that kind of experience in the back of your hearts and in the back of your minds, it's easy to worship God. It's easy to give God thanks. But those days are the exceptions. Next week, I might come in here blue as blue can be because the Mets lost the World Series. And who knows, Penn State might lose next week. Does that mean that I shouldn't worship God? It's precisely on those times when things are more difficult that we need to worship all the more. And it is a discipline. It is a work that we do. You know, I mentioned last week that one of the mistakes that we make is that we look at the church and we think, what did I get out of it? Well, nothing is more true than the act of worship. If you leave here this morning and you think to yourself, I didn't get anything out of that sermon. I didn't get anything out of that worship service. Then the question is not really what I have done. The question is, what have you done? Have you put your heart and soul into worshiping God today? Have you made the effort to really listen to the scripture readings and the prayers and the songs? Have you made that extra effort to get something out of the service by giving more of yourself into the act of worshiping God? You see, it's not about coming here on a Sunday morning and you know, Darren and I dazzling you with our brilliance and erudition and all those other things you're never going to see from us. It's not about whether we have the best praise band in three counties, which we do. It's not about whether our prayers that we offer on your behalf are the most articulate ones ever spoken. It's about what you bring. It's about what you give in the act of worship. Are you giving your heart to God? Are you digging deep down inside yourself to find those words and thoughts that you want to share with God? Are you working hard to get something out of the service? It's like the old adage, the more you give, the more you get. So if you leave this church on a Sunday morning and you go, got nothing, then you have to ask yourself the question, did I give nothing. See, the early church knew and understood that worshiping God was a discipline, was work for us to do. That's why they use the word liturgia. It is the work of the people to come before God, to offer ourselves, to give the best of our minds and of our hearts to God, to give the best of our voices to God, to give the best of who we are to God. That is the work of the people. That is the act of worshiping God. The liturgia of the church. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, you alone are worthy of all worship. You alone are worthy of all praise. You deserve every ounce of energy that we have to lift before you that worship and praise. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us to be strong people, to have the strength to do the work of worship. Help us to give you 100% as you have given us so much more. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.